This episode of Stars and Characters brought to you by Stylin' Online T-shirts and accessories. Stylin' Online offers hundreds of Star Wars T-shirts, vintage reproductions, humorous shirts, classic logo and character shirts, and much, much more. Stylin' Online also offers a huge variety of shirts and accessories from TV, movies, sci-fi, horror, anime, cartoons, Disney, gaming, and music. To check out Stylin' Online's huge collection of Star Wars T-shirts and more, visit our website at www.swic.neozaz.com and click on the Stylin' Online link on the front page.
So goddamn fucking old.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Quinlan Vos. Who? Quinlan Vos kind of, sort of, in a way, appears in Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. If you look real hard and long and switch your eyes
and stretch your imagination beyond its normal potential,
and you pause it and you look at it real close, magnifying glass. Now these names are from a fan named Gerald. Those people are liking, give me some names and I'm liking taking them.
Either they like to help you out or they just think you're stuck.
Or that.
Yeah.
All right. My name is Kit Christo.
Very nice.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Today I'm joined by IG Matty8.
That's creative.
It is.
I like that.
This next one is all on how I say it, so I might really fuck it up. Ready? To my right is...
Can you just stop for a second? Why do you always point out where I'm sitting?
No. So people know that you're here.
It's theater of the mind.
Theater of the mind. Like, I wonder where he's sitting.
And then when I say it to the right, oh.
Am I going to have to put another page on the site where Dave sat? Episode 7, to the right. Episode 8, to the left.
To the right. Right.
Episode 43, he was at another house.
Yeah. Here it comes. Dave-oopy McCool.
And once again, someone does... uses a name you use, but in a far better way.
It was great. And it
much
was all
better than Droopy McCool Dave.
Yeah. Dave Oopy McCool. It's fantastic.
Yep. I want that one. That's
fun to say. Dave Oopy.
Dave Oopy.
That's like that Shaboopy from Family Guy.
Yeah. Shaboopy. Dave Oopy.
And the one who has all the information. Snicker. Jack Pork Tims.
That's a good one. That's a real good one.
That laugh sounded fake, Tim, a little bit.
No, that was me coughing.
Okay.
I wonder where Tim is sitting.
I'm sitting to the front of my microphone.
Gerald, thank you very much. That was fantastic.
Yes. Those were some great names. Pork Tims.
Yes.
Give some facts about Quinlan Vos. Some short facts, please.
We're not going to be so lucky. This could be a record length episode. Quinlan Vos. Yes, he is a Kiffar Jedi from the planet Kifu. Now we've heard these names Kiffar and Kifu previously. He is of the same species as the Tonica sisters.
Oh, I thought they were the Milli Vanilli singers.
But he's actually from a neighboring planet of theirs, Kiffar. He's not from the same planet, but he is the same species. He has the power of the force power of psychometric powers.
What?
Which psychometric, which allow him to read memories from inanimate objects. So he
wait, what?
He can touch something, and he can tell you it's sister. You guys ever see Vibes, Jeff Goldblum, Cyndi Lauper movie?
Yes, and Peter Falk.
He's like Jeff Goldblum.
Oh my God!
Jeff Goldblum could touch a table if someone had sex on this table.
But it's like it's almost like that whole sentence is a contradiction. Memories of inanimate objects. Wait, I'm not. I mean, I understand the concept, but that's whatever. I don't want to make this any longer. Go on.
he was identified very young by the Jedi Order as being strong with the Force, which is common. We've sort of learned that in the prequels that they usually find, as we called them last time, Force babies.
Yeah.
But his people were unwilling to give him up to the Council. They didn't want him to take this baby away from them. So as a compromise, there was a Jedi named I'm probably going to mispronounce this, Tolme or Tholm. He agreed to train Quinlan initially on his home planet at Kifu.
Jim Tolme?
when I first saw it, that's the first name that popped up is Jim Tolme. But no, Jedi, his name is Tolme or Tholm. They never give you pronunciation, so I'm probably mispronouncing it either way. He was I have arrows pointing all around my paper. I'm trying to figure out where I'm at.
Go to the last arrow.
And then we thought he died. No, as a very young child, he was already being trained as a Jedi youngling, but his parents were murdered. And for some reason, his aunt forced him to hold on to his mother's medallion that she was wearing while she died so he could watch his parents die.
That's nice.
So they it's like child abuse. They forced this kid to hold his parents' medallion. And I'm going to say this about the Quinlan Vos entry on Wikipedia. It is so choppy and it is very hard to understand. It jumps all over and there are so many missing entries. Like for instance, I have no idea why his parents were killed. They were murdered. It obviously has to do with some plot point in some comic book somewhere, but I could not figure out why they were killed. So we're going to come in a lot of that here. These are mainly from the comic books. Quinlan Vos is mainly a comic book character. And I'm not a real big fan of the comics, so this is really just justifying my distaste for Star Wars comics. But yeah, I have no idea why his parents were killed and why he was forced to witness his mother's death through his Jeff Goldblum power to read a medallion.
Well, I personally thank you for dragging all of us into this effort of you having to prove that you don't like the comics. Thank you for that.
Why did you Tim? Why did you pick this guy at all? Like, what made you think of him and go, he would be cool? Like, I never heard of this guy till you said his name.
The reason I picked him is he's a big name in the EU, and I had no idea that he was in the movies. I always thought he was strictly an EU character until a few weeks back when I saw that they put him out on the vintage action figure line with a Phantom Menace card and a photo of him in the Phantom Menace. So I was like, oh, he was in a movie. So I was curious to see what his story was. And that's really the only reason I chose him. If they had not made that card, I would never have known that he was in these movies.
And he's mentioned once, right? We talked about that. It was maybe Obi-Wan mentioned Master Quinlan Vos at some point in one of the prequels. His name is mentioned, right?
Yeah, he's mentioned by name in Revenge of the Sith. Yeah.
Well, Tim, isn't he have a bit in that? That kind of a pretty big role in the cartoon too now, a little bit.
Well, he does appear in one episode of the Clone Wars, and yeah, and we'll get to that. We'll get to.
Is he sitting down having a drink in the background in that too?
No, that's actually his shining moment is that cartoon that episode. So anyway, after his parents were killed, he was brought to Coruscant, and he. To start his regular Jedi training. Now there was nothing keeping him on his home planet, so they let him go and be trained as a Jedi the standard way. And as a young Padawan, he actually trained alongside Obi-Wan Kenobi, and during this time he became pretty close friends with Obi. You know, he's with his master Tholme, and and while he was still a Padawan on a mission, they were on the planet Ryloth, and he discovered an infant Twi'lek by the name of Aayla Secura. So it was through Voss's efforts and his discovery of Secura that she was actually brought into the Jedi Order.
Oh, you gotta pardon my laughter. But somebody, and it's not me who's talking. This thing's so boring. He went to the bathroom. Hey, Tim, hold on. I'll be right too.
All right, well, I'll just keep going. I'll just keep going.
He put down the headphones and said, I'm going to go to the bathroom.
I wish I could do that, but then there'd just be nothing but dead air.
Go ahead. That's good. This is great.
So, yeah, he discovers Ayla Secura, who's another very popular character, but she actually appears in the movies for more than one shot. And Ayla Secura eventually becomes Quinlan Vos's Padawan learner.
I thought Quinlan Vos's name came up as like Yaddle's master at one point, or am I just imagining that?
No, Quinlan Vos did come up on a previous episode, but I can't remember where he popped in. It may have been on Yaddle's episode, but no, I'm not sure. I can't remember where we had brought That's him cool. up. In
okay,
the past.
But the name did come up, and I'm just imagining that.
No, I believe he was mentioned at some point.
I would be seriously worried if I imagined things like that. So thank you for verifying that.
Okay, and you know he discovers Ayla Secura. That was a couple of years before the Battle of Naboo, and then we eventually. And I'm skipping over these things because on Quinlan Vos's biography, it goes into like micro details. It's kind of like the four LOM entry where it's just micro detail about every time he ever left the house. They write about it.
And but Willow yeah, Hood has nothing. I don't understand.
there's no justice.
That's right.
Now here's the thing. We get to the point now where it's Phantom Menace era. Quinlan Vos is on Tatooine when Qui-Gon and Padme and Obi-Wan are escaping Naboo and trying to get to Coruscant. And we actually see Quinlan Vos there in Mos Espa. It's the scene where Jar Jar is eating that frog thing and he has to pay 7 whoopee whoopees and and it gets tossed into Sebulba's soup and Sebulba decides to beat him up. Quinlan Vos is sitting right there. He's literally 2 feet away. But the funny thing is when you watch the movie, almost every shot he's in, he only has like one shot where it's like really clearly you can see his face. There's shots where there's like a stick in front of his face or something is obscuring his face. You can see his body, but you can't see his face.
This is all I know him from is the fact that he's in episode one. And I think, again, this is back in the day when we first tossed around the idea of this podcast. And I know the picture you're talking about. I'm actually trying to find it now. It's very hard to... Even with, you know, people doing screen grabs off the Blu-rays, it's very hard to pinpoint them.
Yeah, it's I would never have known that where he was if it wasn't for the vintage card, because that's sort of I kind of figured out what scene that was from. So when I went and saw it in the theaters last week, I was like, oh, there he is, I found him. And again, here's the incompleteness of his entry on Wikipedia is I'm not really sure what he was doing on Tatooine. They said that he was,
that was going to be explained. Well, great.
I was hoping it was going to be explained. Also, he was there on some sort of undercover mission, but you'd think if he saw Qui-Gon walking through the streets of Mos Espa, you'd think he would at least try to, cause he knows who Qui-Gon is, and Qui-Gon, I would assume, knows who he is. You would think that one of them would say something to the other without breaking their, you know, cover. I don't think he would break his cover to talk to this vagrant walking through the street.
That's, you know, that's kind of my point. That they don't ever acknowledge each other. And especially when Darth Maul comes into the picture, you think there'd be some kind of heightened sense of Force awareness and Quinlan Vos might come help, but I guess not.
It's a poorly retconned history for this.
Yeah, because he's sitting right there at his.
Oh, Dave's back.
I'm back. Chris, you're almost out of the paper. No, he's sitting right at the table. I watched the scene again. I mean, I saw it when we saw the prequel in theaters, but then I watched it again because I wanted the time. And he's in it for 7.4 seconds. It's all, you know, like you said, in the background. And all this crap that's going on is happening right in front of his table. And like
he does nothing. He just sits there.
Like they don't see each other. There's no sup or no nothing. Like no secret Jedi handshake. Nothing. Like there's no acknowledgement. And he doesn't even seem to care that this poor creature and this kid are getting into it with this, you know, bully of a pod racer guy. Like he's the laziest Jedi ever. He won't even get out of his chair to help this little kid. And that to me makes everything that has anything to do with this guy being a Jedi on any webpage stupid.
Stupid. Bullshit.
Because they would acknowledge each other. I mean, how many Jedi are even on that planet to begin with? Not to mention you said he's good friends with Obi-Wan. Like don't they have like some kind of gaydar for Jedi? Like they know when another one's close.
Jedar.
especially if it's his buddy Obi-Wan, like won't they know like that they're there?
That's what I was just saying, I think, while you're, you know, washing your hands was when Darth Maul comes. What was that?
Yeah, like I really washed my hands.
I would hope so before he picked up the mic, but now I'll know better when I come in June. Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like when Darth Maul attacks, and I forgot about the part of them being friends. You're right. You think there'd be that whatever, you know, the thing that Luke uses to contact Leia, Obi-Wan being in intimate danger, that whatever the fuck this dude's name is doesn't pick up on that.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So like why they picked this guy and decided to turn him into a Jedi when he's basically just,
Tim, you think
doing nothing.
When this was filmed and that scene was there, was that his name from the start?
Like, no. Okay. No. We'll kind of get into that when we get to the behind the scenes information. But no, when this was shot, he was literally just an extra. They probably picked a guy up from Tunisia, you know, put a little paint on his face, a wig maybe, and sat him down and said, "You sit there and we'll give you $10 at the end of the day."
And that was it. Yeah. I bet you he wasn't a Jedi Knight yet.
His name was really Jerry, the Tatooine drunk.
Plus that stuff on his face, there are other people in that scene. There's another guy that looks similar to him that has that same face paint. And I swear, as soon as I saw it and, you know, I saw the action figure, the first I was like, I know I've seen this before and I'm going to put this picture on our Facebook page. That is totally stolen from Adam Ant.
Like, don't drink, don't smoke.
What did you
do? It's like, you know, the antics in the Forbidden Zone.
You have no idea how ironic that you say that is. We're going to go see him in a couple of months at Hard Rock.
Really?
It's funny. Ooh. I haven't cool. thought or said his name in 15 years. And now within five, six days, having two conversations about Adam Ant. Anyway, I just thought that's amazing.
Have him sign your Star Wars poster.
That's Quinlan Vos.
It's the same friggin' makeup job. It's that white line under his eyes. And I swear, look, I freaking still have it on my thing here. Look at this, Chris. Is that not the same makeup?
You're absolutely right, yeah.
There is an awesome picture of a character I completely forgot about from Blackadder, which is ironically a show that keeps popping up when we talk about Star Wars. There's this character called a Witch Smeller, and someone jokingly put it up as Quinlan Vos in the future, and it looks like Quinlan Vos. He's got the long black hair, and he's got, instead of a yellow stripe, has a blue stripe under his eyes. This will definitely be going on Facebook after we post this. Quinlan Vos, the elder years. I'm snagging it right now.
It's almost like they put that paint there as like, you know, Major League Baseball players will put the black under their eyes to absorb the sun. It's almost like these people in Tatooine have this paint on their face to maybe help reflect the sun off their face or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm just spitballing.
There is, you know, two suns. So
That's true.
I guess that's why I do it.
Oh. I think the character you're thinking of, Dave, I think I know who you're talking about, because I noticed there was a dopey dude sitting there at the same table as him.
Yeah.
And during the pod race, when they show the crowd, I swear I see that same dope sitting in the stands. The same exact dope.
The guy in the blue? He's got like blue sleeves?
Yeah. I think that's the same guy. He's watching the Bunta Eve Classic up there in the stands. And another thing I never noticed, we're getting a little off topic here, but there is a Bith, like the Cantina band guy. Mm. There is a Bith in the stands who has the most gigantic head I've ever seen sitting in the stands. For the next time you guys are watching Phantom Menace, whenever
that'll never happen again. So might as well just tell me.
I will look.
The next time you watch it, when they cut to the crowd, right in the center of the crowd, there is a Bith with a head that is 10 times bigger than anybody else in the crowd. It's crazy.
Look for some head while I'm looking, while watching Phantom Menace.
That's the only way you'll get me to watch Phantom Menace again.
I thought this guy almost looks like the other vibe I get off him is you guys know who Billy Worth is?
Sounds familiar.
He's one of the dudes in Lost Boys. He looks like a Lost Boy to me. Like, he looks like he's off that beach in Santa Monica and Kiefer Sutherland's going to come strolling through any moment. He looks like that same grungy 80s feel. I get total 80s off this guy. Between the Adamant and the Lost Boys, like, I'm expecting a guy with no shirt on or the saxophone to just pop up in the background.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's his shining moment on screen is right there and on Tatooine, where he does nothing and doesn't propel the story. He could have saved everybody and everything would have gone according to plan. But no, he doesn't speak up. He sits there. And about a year after the Battle of Naboo, and again, this biography on Wikipedia is incomplete. He somehow forms amnesia. So he's wandering the universe, not knowing who or what he is.
Does he accidentally transfer his memories to an inanimate object? Is there like a mailbox somewhere on some planet that knows everything about the Jedi Order?
I don't know where how he lost his memories, but he found himself lost on a planet, Narshada, with no memory of who or what he was. And it wasn't until he was attacked by a bunch of violent smugglers that he remembered who he was when he touched a stolen lightsaber that one of the attackers was carrying.
Oh God,
Tim! I have a this is when if he walks by someone and bumps them, does he know that guy? Like, does he know everything all the time, or does he have to like go over there, touch it, and focus?
I don't know. I mean, he might be like a Bruce Willis in Unbreakable.
Yeah.
He's Bruce. Maybe. Unbreakable, and then he's regarding Henry, and he loses his memory.
I was just wondering, just curious. That's all.
Are we at the last arrow yet?
No, not yet. Yeah. We got a little while to go.
Did I just hear you flip pages?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes. After that, his memory returned, and he had full command of his force powers, and he then returned back to Jedi life, and he had to seek out his lost Padawan, Aayla Secura. Aayla Secura at this point had become his Padawan learner. So he went to seek her out. And then he teams back up with her, and she's still a Padawan at this point. I don't know who her master was. We haven't done the Aayla Secura story, so I don't know if she had an interim master when they couldn't find Quinlan Voss when he was on his lost weekend or whatever. She goes through the trials to become a Jedi Knight and passes. And the Jedi Council grant him the title of Jedi Master. So now he is a Jedi Master.
It's hilarious. I'm sorry. Tim, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're doing a great job. Chris is searching for Quinlan Voss stuff, you know, online.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he found a YouTube tribute. You know, people do tributes to people on YouTube.
Yeah.
Mostly still photographs set to probably like Evanescence or something. And he found one of Quinlan Voss. It's like 10 seconds long. And all it basically is that scene. And the guy has digitally imposed a circle around his head.
He's right here. Saying, where's Waldo?
So you know who he is.
I will guarantee that I think of our listeners, we have several thousand listeners. If 10% of our listeners know who Quinlan Voss is going into this episode, I would be surprised. We really are pulling one of the most obscure characters out from the movies. Popular in the EU, nothing in the movies. Mm.
And you're right, because usually about the time we record, after we have posted an episode, someone will mention, looking forward to... and they'll mention the character because we announced at the end of the episode. No one has said a word since the R5-D4 release about no one has said, I'm excited to hear about Quinlan Voss.
Well,
I think we will hear, I'm glad that's behind us.
Let's hurry. Let's do a cool website, awesome trivia, and something else.
Chris, did you get the picture I sent you over Skype of Quinlan Voss the other years?
I did see something come up. I'm too afraid to hit it because it might, I don't know.
No, it's fine.
During this entire time, actually, Quinlan Voss has been susceptible to dark side tendencies throughout his entire life. He's always on that fence, you know, is he going to be nice or is it going to be not so nice? And Palpatine is keenly aware of this. So Palpatine always had his eye on Quinlan Voss as like a plan B, you know, in case this Anakin thing doesn't work out, this Quinlan Voss guy might work out for him. So Palpatine always had his eye on it. And, we're going to get into his dark side. He does eventually fall to the dark side. But prior to that, Quinlan Voss, he's written into a lot of things that happen in the movies, but we never see him. It says that he was present on Geonosis when the Jedi rescue for Obi-Wan happened. But we don't see him. He's probably just one of those lightsabers we see way off on the distance. Mm. So then he becomes a general in the Clone Wars. But
who isn't a general in a war in Star Wars?
I guess all the Jedi.
Captain Tarpals. That's the only one.
Yeah. I think Tarpals became a general.
Oh, did he? Okay. Captain Panaka. Hey, well, he should only be a captain.
But early in the Clone Wars, you know, he's a general, but early in the Clone Wars, he does fall to the dark side. Hmm. And became, for a time, one of Dooku's assassins. So he's working alongside Asajj Ventress in a lot of missions. So the two of them are you know, Dooku's acolytes.
I thought there was only supposed to be some rule about one master and one apprentice.
Well, I mean, technically Dooku can have his assassins, and they may not necessarily be full apprentices.
Okay.
Isn't that what Asajj Ventress is in the cartoons?
I think he lets her think that she may be an apprentice.
But yeah, he's certainly. I'm thinking about. I don't know about the new one, but in the original cartoon, Clone Wars cartoon, she was a tool for him.
Yeah,
like even though you're right, yeah, I think he did let her believe she was an apprentice, but now he just had her do his dirty work.
Well, Dooku, during the second half of season three of the Clone Wars, there is a storyline that Dooku is, you get the sense that he's ready to make his move to overthrow Palpatine and become a Sith master. And they hint that Asajj Ventress would be his apprentice at that point.
Okay.
But things come into play and it doesn't work out.
I said, okay, that meant we're done.
That was weird. I never thought I could fall asleep with my head on the microphone. But I just did for 2 minutes.
Well, I don't have a huge amount more.
Yes. Yes.
But there is more.
But there is more.
There is more.
No.
Now during this time, he's keenly aware that that Dooku is a Sith. But he knows, and I think most Jedi know at this point, that Dooku is not the Sith Master. He is the Sith Apprentice. So during this time, he is constantly trying to figure out who Dooku's master is. So that's one of the main things he's doing during this time period.
I do have one question. I don't know if you have it in your notes or not. What point does he become Chancellor of the Senate?
he never becomes Chancellor of the Senate.
Oh, because I'm having a deja vu.
Now, during this time, most of the Jedi resigned themselves to thinking that Voss was lost completely to the dark side. But Aayla Secura was not in that boat. She was convinced that he could be turned back to the light side.
If anyone could turn me back, it would be her.
Yeah. So with the help of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Secura is successful in bringing Voss back to the light side. But for his crimes against the Jedi or the Republic, I guess he's imprisoned. I think Plo Koon imprisons him
on Tatooine.
But somehow he appeals to the Jedi Council, and they bring him back into the Jedi Order and reinstate him as general again.
What?
Yeah. Again, this is from the comics, and I hate the comics.
How do they? I mean, not that I want to belabor this, but how do you turn someone who has turned to the dark side back to the, you know, whatever the hell you want to call it? It's like an exorcism. I mean, what do they do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we kind of see Luke do it at the end of Revenge of the Sith, or at the end of Return of the Jedi. I mean, but it doesn't seem like that's how it played out in this one. I guess the power of suggestion. Well, if you're a sexy blue Twi'lek.
That's about the only thing I can think of that would work in that instance. Now, in Jedi, yeah, that was... well, I don't want to make this a long discussion. That was different. That's also
a little different.
Yeah.
And at this point in the story, Voss does appear on an episode of the Clone Wars animated series. It's actually a really... I really like this episode, even though it features probably Dave's most hated character in all of the Star Wars universe, Zero the Hutt.
Me.
But yeah, the episode is The Hunt for Zero. And in this episode, we find out that Zero the Hutt is in fact not gay.
Do tell, Tim.
Really?
He apparently has been maintaining a rather illicit romantic affair with Sice Noodles.
Oh God.
So yeah, he's been having this affair with Sice Noodles, who is a singer in his club. But Sice Noodles being who she is, she eventually turns on him. She actually kills Zero the Hutt. She cold bloodedly kills him, shoots him with a laser blaster. And then she sets her sights on Jabba as a nude mark for her to gold dig. Mm. But despite all of that, it is actually a rather fun episode to watch, and Quinlan Voss is quite entertaining in that episode. I do like him in that. That's the only time I like him.
Of like a Russell Crowe kind of character on the Clone Wars a little bit.
Yeah, he's kind of like a Russell Crowe, but a little more laid back, kind of like a surfer kind of dude at the same time. All in that. It's been a while since I watched that episode. I don't own season 3 on DVD yet, but I do remember it. I do remember him just kind of being a cool laid back sort of dude, which kind of goes against everything that happens in the comics. Cause in the comics, he's this intense a-hole. Now during this time, he's still got his sights on trying to figure out who this second Sith is. So he's constantly just on this self-initiated lone wolf mission to find out who this is. And he actually thought it was a senator. And I didn't write down that goddamn senator's name.
Darn it.
That's okay.
Yep. Anyway,
move on.
He thought it was a senator. He was
Greblips. It was Greblips. I know it was. So go ahead.
now we're getting now into episode 3, and this is where we actually hear Quinlan's name mentioned at the beginning. I think Obi-Wan says something to the effect of the they've moved Voss to Quinlan Voss or Master Voss to the Boss Pity system, something to that effect at the beginning. But his name is mentioned there. You don't see him. He was originally scripted to be in episode 3. They were going to put him in episode 3, but when it came time for the actual shooting script, he was actually edited out at that point, other than a name mention. But according to stories, he was on Kashyyyk during that battle that we see at the end of Sith. So he's there, and he was there when Order 66 was issued, and they thought that they had killed him. He was riding on one of the Republic's juggernauts. Now, I know last time we had the trivia question of what was a juggernaut, and I finally found out it's that thing that it's got like six wheels. It's kind of like this armored tank kind of thing. But he was in one of those when clone troopers sort of turned on him and shot and blew it up, and they thought that they had killed him. But he was injured, but he had survived, and he actually went and started to live sort of like a survivor man out in the woods of Kashyyyk, evading clone troopers left and right as they were taking over the planet and enslaving the Wookiees. And now we're coming to the end here. And eventually a clone trooper does find him in a cave. He's been in the cave. It's like a year later. He finds him in a cave and they get into a big fight. Quinlan Voss kills him, but he gets shot. He's injured. And for some reason, a smuggler who knows who Quinlan Voss is just happens to be there. And he decides to take Quinlan Voss, save him, patch him up, but to cover his tracks, he burns the clone trooper in a funeral pyre, claiming that the person that's burning is Quinlan Voss. So that's how he covers it up. And then Voss escaped into the universe, and his final fate has yet to be written.
Ain't coming!
And so that's his biography. I just have a little behind-the-scenes information on this.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Nugget of crap. But, Quinlan Voss was actually, he was a character created for comics, as we mentioned, Jan Dersima.
Go!
And,
he's telling you to go till the end.
he was created for comics by Jan Dersima and John Ostender. And they had asked to use the image of a background character in The Phantom Menace, and Lucasfilm licensing said, sure, yeah, use that guy. You can use that guy. So they were cool. And they created this whole character based on that guy's likeness. Now, the guy who actually played the character that we see in that movie is just an unknown extra. Nobody knows who this guy actually is. I'm guessing he was just someone that lives in Tunisia that they just hired for a day to sit and do the scene.
Whisper back to me, man.
You want to play Words with Friends?
he does have a there is an actor who does the voice on the cartoon. It's an actor by the name of Al Rodrigo, and I looked him up to see if he's done anything of any real importance in his career in terms of film or TV roles, and he basically just has guest roles on a lot of TV episodes, but nothing major. Al Rodrigo, so look him up, see if you recognize him, because I don't. But he has had two action figures made. One was in a comic pack, and one was on a, as we mentioned earlier, the Phantom Menace vintage card, which now I curse that figure for making us, for giving me the inspiration to do this episode, because I'm regretting it, as every second ticks by.
That's not your fault,
too. Move!
No.
Move!
And the last little thing is the past 50 minutes are
completely your fault.
yes. I do apologize. If you've made it this far, folks, you guys are strong, and you're diehard fans of this show.
Incoming.
When it comes to
what the
conventions,
hell is that Chris,
the clone trooper?
Oh, okay,
just yelling.
He got like a G.I. Joe board or something.
When it comes to conventions, there is a guy that goes out there to conventions and signs autographs as Quinlan Voss. He's a guy named Doug Wangler.
I love that name.
Doug Wangler. He's basically a model that was hired by Jan Dersima to be the physical representation of him. And this is we've seen this before in on Star Wars conventions. I know, like, the Mara Jade character is portrayed by Shannon McRandall, and she does conventions and signs autographs. I personally don't know who really cares about either of these two people if they're not in the film, and all they are people that stand for photos for card games and things, but that's what they do. Some people do care. It's just not my cup of tea.
If you don't care about them, why do you care about Joey Fatone?
Joey Fatone says he was there.
Okay.
And I know this is the moment you've been thinking about since 2 minutes before we started this, but that's all I got.
Clankers.
Holy shit. Yeah. I'm more tired than when I fucking run 10 miles.
Oh, yes.
So for all of you Quinlan Voss fans, this one is for you. We took one for the team for you guys.
Matt, is your website more fun than this thing was?
QuinlanVoss.retrogression.org, Quinlan Voss fan site, done. That's how you do it, Tim.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Well,
oh,
it's time for a brief interlude here. At the behest of probably the king of our Australian listeners, a guy by the name of Scott. I'd like to thank Scott for listening and participating. So this is going out to Scott by request for everyone in Australia. And we like to call this Chris Does a Dramatic Reading.
Is he going to do it in an Australian accent?
That he might. That's all I know.
That's horrible.
That's all I know.
All right. Now, Chris has asked me to participate in just to...
Oh, no.
to only read the setting of the scene, and then he's going to take it away. And once he starts, you'll know the scene once he gets going. But this was requested by Scott, and here it goes. Worlds away on the gloomy, fog-shrouded planet called Dagobah, light gleams from a tiny hut. Here the object of Darth Vader and the Emperor's conversation meets with the being he calls Master.
The face you make. Look, I so bad to your young eyes. No, no, of course not. I do, yes, I do. Sick I become, who? Old and weak, yes. But 900 years you hold your reach. Look as good as you will not. Soon will I rest, yes. Forever sleep. Earned it, I have. You can't die, Master Yoda. I won't let you. I need your help. I wanted to complete my training. Twilight sucks. The movie.
That wasn't even that funny.
Twilight is upon me. Soon night must fall. That is the way of things. The way of the Force. Strong with it, are you? But not that strong, still train. You have no more to you require. Already you know that which you need. Then I am a Jedi. Not yet. One thing remains. Vader. Vader, you must confront, and only then a Jedi. You're me? Master Yoda, I must know. Is Darth Vader my daddy? I wonder who he did. Your father he is. Unexpected this is. And unfortunate. That I know the truth. Unfortunate that you. Oh shit, I'm dying. You rush to face him. Then I ready for the burden where you will be one when I've told you long ago. I'm so goddamn fucking old. How did I let you? Now a great weakness. Fear for you, I do, yes. Fear. Master Yoda, I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry, will you not help, Luke? I'm so cold, put this blanket on me. Of the Emperor, beware. Do not underestimate his powers or suffer your father's fate. You will remember what a god I am. There's a Jedi. Where you be?
I'm dead.
Oh, my. Next time I pick something up and my back tweaks, and then I know I'm going to say I'm so goddamn fucking old. I think my favorite part of that is that your Luke Skywalker voice is the same as your Padme Amidala voice.
Yeah. Well, they're both, you know.
Yeah.
Feminine, yes.
I was thinking the same thing. And every once in a while you turn into Daffy Duck, you were like,
all right.
Well,
it's time for the best part.
What's that? All right. Let's recap the scores here. And it's a good one. At least three-fourths of it's a good one. Tim is in the lead with 19.
Yay!
Damn!
Then Chris and Matt both with 15.
Oh-ho.
Oh-ho-ho.
So, well done, guys. And I have six. So, here's your question, Chris. Are you ready?
That's right. I'm first. Go. Bring it.
Bring it. You're getting into this now, aren't you?
Hey, well, there's a chance. If Tim really, you know, gets a lot wrong, good for us.
All right. Your question is coming from the Empire Strikes Back era.
Okay.
How many bounties had Bosk collected for the Empire as of the Battle of Hoth?
Yeah. I remember that scene. All right. Give me the multiple choices.
Okay. Had he collected A, 16, B, 30, C, 9, or D, 12 as of the Battle of Hoth?
Let me count them. Let me go back and count them.
Yeah.
There's a bounty for his metal bikini top. That was one of them.
That hadn't happened yet.
Well, that's why it's a bounty.
Oh.
There was the bounty for the bounty paper towels.
This must be in like some kind of you know, maybe Tales of the
Bounty Hunters.
It's in the Quinlan Vos series of comic books.
Did I hear 16?
A was 16.
I'm going with A.
That's the second most to 30. You're going with 16?
Yep.
Is incorrect.
And it is?
It is D, 12.
Oh, that's right. Four less than 16.
All right. Well, that means we go to the leader. Since Chris is unable to catch him, it's going to be up to Matt, and you guys better hope he gets this wrong.
I'm hoping.
Your question, Tim, is coming from the Phantom Menace era.
All right.
Does he know it?
What was Jabba's species?
Oh, my God.
Oh, are you kidding me?
That's ridiculous.
Did you pick up the freaking coloring book edition or something?
Now, I have a feeling that this is probably a trick question.
Okay.
I'm just going to say he's a Hutt.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, it is.
That is my final answer, but give me the choices just to make me stew in it a little.
Okay. The choices are these. A is Charon, or Charon. It's C-H-A-R-O-N.
Mm.
Does that ring a bell for you at all?
Nope.
Mm. Okay. B is Zexto, but it's
nope.
X-E-X-T-O.
No, no.
C is Hutt.
Okay.
And D is Squib.
I'm going to say Hutt.
But it is Hutt.
Yeah.
And a two-pointer for Tim.
How'd you get that, Tim?
You know what? Once Dave started saying those other ones, I had a feeling that they were going to come up with some story like, no, he's of the Schlauman Hutt species or something like that. I thought it was going to be even more specific.
Well, that's a
sometimes it's best not to overthink it.
I guess so. That's a devastating blow to both of you guys. But maybe Matt can keep it close.
All right.
The next question, also coming from the Empire Strikes Back era.
I'll do my best.
And here's the question. C-3PO assured R2-D2 that one person could fix the hyperdrive on the Millennium Falcon. Who was it?
Chewbacca.
Wow.
Why do you say wow?
Whatever. Just go ahead. I can't wait to hear your question.
All right. So you're going with Chewbacca.
Yes.
And that is one of the choices. The other choices are Han Solo, R2-D2, or Lando Calrissian. So Chewbacca is absolutely correct.
All right.
And Matt keeps it within striking distance. Nice job, Matt.
Thank you.
All right.
So you got an ungettable one, Chris.
The two of you guys had the easiest questions ever.
I think we're going to probably bookend this. I'm going to get one that's also
646.
Just in the words of our listener, Bill, balls.
Okay. All right. Hayden Christensen plays Anakin. What's Hayden's last name? Go.
What color is Luke's green lightsaber?
Chartreuse.
This is from Attack of the Clones. Of the three beasts utilized in the arena on Geonosis, which has a thriving a thriving wild population on the planet?
All right. I think if I hear you say the names, I'll know those species because my son has a it's a deck of cards, but each card is like
a character.
And I know one of them's called like a Nexu, I think, and that might be the tiger type thing. One of them's called an Akalay, which I think is the tall praying mantis looking kind of one. Now, where do they thrive? Does it say?
It has a thriving wild population on the planet, like on the whole entire planet.
On that planet of Geonosis?
I guess so. Yeah.
Huh. See, that tiger thing to me wouldn't seem like it would thrive on it looks like a pretty deserted and almost desert planet, kind of like Tatooine. I'm going for two here, and I'm going to say the Akalay.
Okay. No, you don't want to hear the choices?
I'll hear the choices now, but I'm going with that one.
Well, it's kind of like...
I know what the other one's called. It's called a Ronto. No, that's the damn thing with the Jawas. Forget it. Akalay is my answer.
But you said them all. Nexu. A is two answers. A is Nexu and Reek.
Reek.
B is Nexu. C is Reek. And D is Aklay.
All right, I'm going D, Aklay. For 2 points, though, even though you gave me the choices. Right.
Correct.
Yay!
You finally got out of the six hole.
I'm off the Schneid.
Wow.
All right. So at this point, Chris, you're still at 15. Tim with, 20.
I know, boy.
Matt was 17.
I can do this.
So, and this is episode 44, I believe?
Yes.
So,
six more. That's right.
All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed playing along with us. And tune in next time.
Meanwhile, at the Legion of Doom.
Well, we want to thank you.
Solomon Grundy has a plan.
Really, really much for listening to this boar fest that Tim chose about Quinlan Voss.
Not Tim's fault.
No, it's not his fault.
Tim's
for
getting
picking it? Support. The hell it isn't.
Tim is getting some support on some of these.
Yeah, I think they're Tim's friends who were writing it. Or Tim himself.
Tim himself. Leave Tim
Leave
alone.
Leave me alone. I mean Tim alone.
Someone needs to make a video. Leave Tim alone.
Well, join us next time. We discuss the Yawgnoths.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.